WSCR Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago,
and Odyssey Sports Station.
The Score!
Football season. The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
The Red Hot Cubs have a chance to take another series. It's game two of their three-game set in Washington. Bethancourt waits the pitch. Line drive, base hit in the center field. Around third and racing home is Bush. The ball gets past the center fielder, Young, and the Cubs tie up the ball game. Bethancourt waits the pitch. Is tapped in front of the mound. And now the catcher throws the ball into center field. Nico around third. He's coming home. Here's the throw. The slide. Save. The Nationals down to their last strike. The 1-2. Called strike three. Backdoor slider nails Wood. And the Cubs win again. They beat the Nationals 5-3 and win their fifth consecutive series.
The Stars are out. Francisco Lindor, Andrew Vaughn. It's the New York Mets taking on your Chicago White Sox in game two of this three-game series. Pete Alonso, a high fly ball deep to left field. Benintendi looking up, and it is gone. A 2-0 lead for the Mets here in this first inning. Tapper back to the mound. That'll do it. The Sox showed fight here in the bottom of the ninth, but couldn't get all the way up back the hill. And they lose game two in this three-game series, 5-3.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Ba-da-ba-ba, sing it. Ba-ba, ba-da-ba-ba, trombone. Ba-da-ba-ba. Here comes the bass trombone and the Barry sax. Hope you sang along with the low brass for one final time here in the summer of 2024, in the baseball season that is 2024. We often rage against the dying of the light that is the baseball season in the face of football's onslaught. This is the last Hit and Run because next week, folks, there is Bears pregame next week in this time slot, with Mully and Olin Krutz and Pat Manley. But I can't rage that hard because Bears season is going to be so damn fun. It really is. So what I'm hoping for is that the Cubs continue their outrageous hot streak. They play themselves into continued relevance. And as always in a September, if that's the case, we find time for Bonus Hit and Run, where I, Matt Spiegel, will be with you. Maybe on a Saturday afternoon, maybe, you know, we'll find time. We always, always do. So find us on social media, and you'll know where to get us. But my goodness, it is a day that I am looking forward to talking baseball with you. Good morning, everybody. Here's what's happening in the universe. Number one, the Cubs have won 8 of their last 9 series. They've gone 11-3 since being swept by the Guardians. They are 4 games over 500 for the first time since May 23rd. This is the best month of baseball by record, this August that just finished, since May of 2021. Best record for a month in more than 3 seasons. That's what you just watched. And you know that it was really fun, really good baseball. You know that. 18-8, sure. And that's nice. But man, they have played well. Offense explosive. Bullpen not just surviving, but thriving. And there's a lot more to talk about with that team, and we will. They are 4 games back of the Atlanta Braves for the final wild card spot. The New York Mets sit in between them, 2 games back. It's hard to imagine the Braves collapsing, but we can look at their schedule and think about it. They are ravaged by injuries, but once again, they went out and got trade deadline acquisitions that have played out of their mind. It's a really good organization and a very confident and good team. So look, the Cubs may or may not catch Atlanta, but it all bodes well for the overall vibe around the organization, within the fan base, and for an impending offseason and into next year as well. So there's a lot to talk about there. The White Sox, meanwhile, the White Sox are 4-34 since the All-Star break. They have, as a team, when you consider that they also lost 7 of 8 going into the break, they have 41 losses in their last 46 games. I can't even truly wrap my head around it. And I do this for a living. It's remarkable. When you do a news search for the White Sox, every story from the last, 3 months has an adjective attached to them. The Mets beat the lowly White Sox. The Mets beat the woeful White Sox. Lowly and woeful are the first two adjectives in the first two news stories about yesterday's game. The White Sox are 31-106. They're 75 games under 500, man.
What a ridiculous number.
Do you remember when they were, 60-some under 500? Or maybe it was even 50-some under 500. And Frank Thomas and Ozzie Guillen and Chuck Garfein were like, I don't even know what to do, man. We're 60 under 500. What the hell? I don't even know how to process that. They're 75 under right now. They're 43 back in the wild card. 43 games back. I mean, it is horrific. It is embarrassing. But we know all of this. When you zoom out, things look still pretty bad. I had a White Sox vision when asked about them yesterday. I was asked about them yesterday, and I had a vision, and I want to share it with you. But not just yet. Because damn it, I'm in too good a mood to share my zoomed out and unfortunate White Sox vision with you just yet. I'm in too good a mood, but I'll get there sometime before the end of the segment, probably. Whew. Then we'll talk to Steve Stone at the top of the next hour, a man who openly told us he considered quitting because this year was so bad. One of the great broadcasters in the history of the game. Seriously. Guy's done unbelievable things as a player, as a broadcaster. Could have been an executive and ran a team. And this thing is so bad, it sometimes makes him want to run screaming from the game that he loves. I know it does that for you. We'll talk to Steve Stone in an hour. In 2 hours, we'll talk to Ron Coomer. He's a 10. That guy's a 10. And texted him last night, said, Coom, you got any time tomorrow? He said, yes. No worries. Happy to. Triple exclamation points. Dude's a 10.
Over under on how many Maddies you get.
I want six. I want six Maddies.
Let's
set,
get there.
Set the number at 5.5 for Maddies from Ron Coomer. That's when you know you've made it, folks. That and when Craig Counsell calls you Spiegs like he did last time he was on with me and Gabe Ramirez. We're going to talk about Craig Counsell in a moment. We've got Team of the Moment coming up next hour. Every Sunday on Hit and Run, we have picked a team playing better than anybody and a team that is capturing the imagination of the baseball world. Who will it be this week? Oh, it's going to be fun. We'll do that in the 10 o'clock hour. Also in the 11 o'clock hour, you'll hear from Jason Benetti. He's on this week's episode of the PBP, Voices of Baseball, my podcast with Odyssey and MLB, where I talk to broadcasters. And Jason Benetti, the first ever three-time guest on the PBP, means he gets a card and he gets a gold jacket for being in the three-timers club. He also gets a pass to the PBP three-timers lounge, which is available in every airport in America. Very, very special honor for Jason. But we talked a lot about, building a new broadcast with an organization like the Tigers. And he picked apart some of my play-by-play calls with the Cubs because I like learning from that man. He's a very thoughtful and empathetic teacher. And yes, we talked about the White Sox broadcast situation and the aftermath of his exit just a little bit, but it's really good. So we're going to bring you a chunk of that in the 11 o'clock hour. Along the way, your phone calls and texts are not merely welcome. They are elemental to the very completion of the broadcast. And you can find us on the Score listener line powered by BetQL at 312-644-6767. BetQL, bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Baseball coverage on the Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com. Switch. We are here until just before noon because this afternoon, the Cubs wrap up their road trip against the Nationals. Pre-game coverage is coming up at noon with first pitch at 12:35 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Okay, 4 over .500, 4 games back of the wild card. The Cubs are hereby deemed fun to watch. Confidence in the bottom of the order changes the feeling of so many things. The 8 and 9 hitters in the Cubs lineup this month posted an OPS over 1. 8 and 9. That's not just Amaya and PCA. And of course, those guys have been outrageous. Amaya with a 576 slugging percentage this month, a 348 OBP, 318 batting average, 4 homers, 19 ribs. And Pete Crow Armstrong, of course, 325 batting average this month, a 578 slug, 4 homers, 16 RBI, and 6 stolen bases. But those 8 and 9 hitters, it also includes Christian Bethencourt, who had some outrageous moments, as you know. And defensively has had some outrageous moments. But Bethencourt is like, God, there's been some power, but there's been plenty of shortening up and getting big hits through infields at crucial moments. The 8 and 9 hitters in the Cubs lineup combined is more than 200 points better than the next closest team in August in terms of OPS. Those numbers courtesy of Andy Martinez over at Marquee, who does a great job. So the confidence in the bottom of the order changes the way the whole thing feels. You see ducks on the pond as a Cubs fan. And lately, you kind of know it's going to get cashed in. They're down, what, 2-0? DJ Hers hasn't given up a hit last night. You get to the fifth inning, Paredes, who has found himself, folks. We'll talk about him in a minute. Paredes gets on to lead off. The bases are loaded, and you're like, they're totally going to cash this in. Come on, you know this. If you're watching that game, you're like, this is going to be a big inning. Not just an inning, but a big inning. They end up getting 4 because the confidence has changed. You no longer need to watch and feel like Bellinger, Happ, and Suzuki have to produce every single time they're up. Every single time those guys are up, first, what, 4 months of the year, 3.5 months of the year, you're like, well, if those guys don't do it, nobody's going to. So I know they need to. And otherwise, it's a lot of wishing and a hoping. Now those guys do stuff, it almost feels like gravy. You're like, oh yeah, that's right, those guys. Because everybody else is doing their thing. Right now, everybody on that team is running the bases with confidence and joy and aggressiveness. You know what they're doing? They're all running like a bunch of Pete Crow Armstrongs. It's almost like when we said earlier in the year that this team needed that kid's swagger and arrogance, that a good team needs young and dumb and exuberant, passionate, talented kids, at least one, and he was the guy they needed. You remember that segment in May? Whew. They are thriving and grooving on that kid's swagger and confidence and fun. And some of them have always had it. Look at the way Nico Hoerner runs the bases, man. That dude is a banshee. Sometimes he gets in trouble. Every once in a while he gets in trouble out there. But man, I will take it for the amount of aggression that he has and the way that he comes in flying to make sure he scores. There are more specifics to get into, but let me stay with the generalities. There's managerial confidence in Craig Counsell right now, isn't there, for you? Sure as hell is for me. Yes, winning does that, but remember, he gets credit for that. And we know him better now. We know Counsell better now. We know better than to think he is what he appears to be sometimes during games, dispassionate, no energy, stiff, whatever. The interviews have gotten better, more communicative, more fun. Trust me, I do them once every couple of weeks on The Score. And he's also letting like an absurd sense of humor fly. You know, you may think this is silly, but I don't believe it is silly. This is Taylor McGregor in the dugout on Marquee with Counsel, having learned about a candle with a sticker on it that has the face of a gigantic pop star.
I think we have to start with Taylor Swift. There's a lot of Swifties in Cubs Nation, and there might be some luck coming from those Swifties that have impacted the Cubs. Can you describe the impact of Taylor Swift as of late?
I was gifted a Taylor Swift candle, and we've been lighting that before games in my office. It's clubhouse manager Danny Miller, and we've found a nice little run here, so we're going to credit Taylor Swift.
There we go. Swiftie Nation, hope you sink that in.
So, look, the Taylor Swift candle, I'm not saying that it's the reason, but if they want to believe that, let them. Come on, man. Baseball, you need stuff like this. You always do. And you just have to let it present itself and let it happen. But there's actually some important things in there for me. One is that, oh, by the way, Counsel's funny and he's chill and he's ridiculous and he's absurd. And people that know him well tell me this. I've seen it just a little bit. I've seen it a fair amount, frankly. There was a moment in the spring training where I was screwing around with him about what was coming up with me and Danny Parkins, and he was hilarious about it. It's there, and it's especially there with his players, and it matters, and you need it. So there's some of that that's important. Also, Danny Mueller, the former bat boy, former clubhouse attendant, who's now the clubhouse manager, who became the bat boy for a day last year, that is a beloved dude who's part of the fabric and the culture of that place from before Counsel was here. And it's not as if he's jibed with everybody and vibed with everybody, but vibing with that guy and being a part of something that existed before he got here, essential. And the fact that it's in a good, comfortable spot is all good. So there is more managerial confidence. So there's more managerial comfort. And oh, by the way, today is the first day of Craig Tember. The Brewers never had a month under 500 in September the last 8 years. Never once finished under 500 in September. 8 years in a row. Seven of them were winning years. Overall, their winning percentage in September was 58%, 52% in all the other months. Dude gets to know his team better, utilizes them in better situations. And oh, by the way, he had a great bullpen there. Does he have a good enough bullpen here? We will see. Porter Hodge, that slider to get Dylan Cruz last night, woo, goodness. I know Hodge got in some trouble, but man, slider on the outside corner, that one was just, and the way it moves is filthy. His fastball is weird, and it's different. I remember talking to him the day he came up for a little pregame for the radio, and he said he was like exasperated as I asked him about the fastball because it's a weird one. He's like, ah, whatever, it's just my fastball. Clearly, like he's gone through it in terms of your fastball doesn't do this, it should do that. And he's like, whatever, this is how it comes out of my hand, okay? And now they're using it to their advantage. Not only is the bullpen the best in baseball since June 1st, as I've said often, overall, it's the eighth best bullpen in baseball. How did that happen? Eighth overall over the course of the year after that dog crap start? The pitching overall is the ninth best in baseball. It is quite a moment. And I don't know if the Cubs are going to get it done, but I know that it's been really fun to watch. And we've been gifted with relevant, entertaining baseball in August, and we are going to get some more in September. Beginning today when they go for the sweep. Jordan Wicks is pitching for the Cubs later on today. That's one of the September roster moves. We have guesses as to who the other roster move is. I know who I'm hoping it is. I know who Sean Sears is fearing that it is. I still think it's going to be Owen Casey, dude. I really do. I was told that a while back that it was going to be Owen Casey. The other stuff that I've been told by this source has been money along the way. Have things changed? Do they need some positional flexibility in the infield? You could argue that. But boy, I want to see Owen Casey's bat up here. I want to see him get a feel for this month. We'll see. They get just two acquisitions to add. 26 goes to 28. All right, it's the end of the segment. I didn't get to my grim, dystopian White Sox vision that I had when asked a question about them yesterday. I'll do it next segment. I begrudgingly promise, because it's grim. But we'll get there. The phone lines are now open. Talk to me, people. It's the last hit and run. Love talking to you, the phone callers. You are the best part of the show. 312-644-6767. Looking forward to hanging out. Steve Stone, Ron Coomer, and Team of the Moment, and a Jason Benetti chunk from the PBP. All of it coming on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score.
Tap it back to the mound. And that'll do it. The Sox showed fight here in the bottom of the ninth, but couldn't get all the way up back the hill. And they lose game two in this three-game series, 5-3.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
When September ends.
Oh, boy.
Like my father's.
It's kind of impossible to believe the White Sox are truly this bad. The lowly and woeful White Sox. And I have to share with you the vision that I had when asked about them yesterday. It is Hit and Run. It is me, Matt Spiegel, here with you. This is the hour for your phone calls. Want to hear from excited Cubs fans? Still pessimistic Cubs fans? Want to hear from observers of the National League wildcard race and what you think as it develops? And yes, want to hear from you White Sox fans. This is the hour to talk because we're busy for a lot of the rest of the show. There'll be a couple of different spots for calls, but this is the hour to call. So 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Dial it up and get involved now. Sean Sears is on the other side. Next week in this time slot, it is Bears pregame. And understandably so. All right. So look, yesterday I was talking to somebody about how grim the White Sox were. Oh, because they went to the game. They went to the game the other day. And then they're like, yeah, oh, man, it's rough. And he started asking about the team, and I'm like, well, this year, it's, you know, they didn't have much, and they traded away the vets, et cetera. He said, but how about beyond? Like, when is this thing going to get good? When are they going to get good? And I paused, and I'm like, I don't really know. I don't know when they're going to get good. I'm like, they have young pitchers, and some of those young pitchers could be very good altogether in a rotation, conceivably, but I have no idea where the offense is, and I don't know when's the next time they'll spend. And then he said, well, what about the new ballpark? Are they going to build that ballpark in the South Loop? And I said, no, I don't think that's going to happen. So I realized full on, flat out, if you ask me if I think it's going to happen, the answer is no. And I like the idea. I wrote a column about it when the news broke, like, oh my God, they have a chance to right a wrong. Look at this. They can do this. But are they going to get any federal money to do it? No. No. I don't believe that that's going to happen. It's not a neighborhood that needs an infusion. I mean, it's possible, I suppose, but I realized I don't think so. So then the person's like, well, what does that mean? If there's no new ballpark and you're not sure when, I said, well, I think they're going to be the Oakland A's. I think they're going to be a Midwest version of the Oakland A's, and it's just going to stay desolate and empty and mostly really bad until Jerry Reinsdorf passes away and his sons sell the team to a new owner. And then who the hell knows what that person's going to do. But I said, I think it's going to be ugly and bad and empty and depressing up until there's a new ownership. And I realized that could go a long time. Who the hell knows? And it's up to the health of a very wealthy man who is very connected and still passionate, seemingly. And so what are you doing? You're rooting for that guy to get more ill? You're rooting for that guy to die? That's a grim way to live, and nobody's doing that. And if you are, well, I mean, keep it to yourself because it's a human thing. I can't root for that. No way in hell, of course. So what are we doing? You're looking at 5 more years? 10 more years? I don't know. But I don't see it getting better on the field. I don't see it getting better in that ballpark, and it just bummed me the hell out. And maybe it's because yesterday morning I saw a podcast from friend of the show, Rob Bradford, the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He sat down with Dennis Eckersley in Oakland, and Eck was talking about the 7 or 8 best years of his life that he spent in Oakland, where his parents came to the game all the time and saw him as the fireman who was dominating Major League Baseball, and that ballpark was thriving and those teams were great. And now Oakland has been a desolate and embarrassing, you know, dystopian Cormac McCarthy version of a ball club going on 15 years. And is that what we're looking at for White Sox future? God, I hope not, but that was my honest answer as to what I thought was going to happen. Do you agree? Do you disagree? What are we looking at here? Woof. Grim stuff, man. Grim stuff. And it just ain't right. It just isn't right. If you're going to tell me that it turns around faster than that or some other scenario, believe me, I'd love to hear about it because I don't like living in this world. I don't like thinking about, you know, was it Viggo Mortensen in The Road? And where the road leads to Guaranteed Rate Field? Woof.
I think that's I saw a different movie.
I think that's the one, right? The Road?
No, you're right. I just didn't remember him going to Guaranteed Rate.
It was Viggo. No, that's where he basically was going. The whole place felt like that. Grim.
You're right, though, Spiegs. Like, there's not a ton to be excited about. Like, I mean, the highlight of the White Sox season is what, like, the campfire milkshake? Like, I mean, it's tough.
And it's not just the season. It's the zoomed-out, large-scale future that feels so damn ugly. This is Mark in South Bend on 670 The Score. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Matt. I want to wish you, your son Ruben, and your family the rest of a happy summer.
Thank you.
And it's great to chime in with you on the last time. And what you're saying comes to point. I think Reinsdorf dreamed up that whole new ballpark thing to take attention off how bad the Sox were going to be and going forward. The other thing is, you know, the future of the team. And you mentioned, like, would it be like the Oakland A's or the South Side of Chicago? It seems more like the Blackhawks under Dollar Bill Wirtz until he passed and his son Rocky took over. Then he got McDonough and some good people and Val Bowman to rebuild it. And my only hope is if Michael takes it over, he would do something like that, or they would sell it to someone who would do something like that. And that's the only thing. And the last question I have for you is, when are you going to do some hot stove with Len Casper? He's had a rough season. How about getting Peter Gammons and Theo Epstein together for some hot stove coming up here in Chicago?
Oh, man, I love it. Hot Stove Cool Music is a music event that Len and I have been a part of for a long time. Len is a great bass player and a good friend and a good songwriter. I'll tell you this much. November 20th, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, is that? I think it is. But it's Sunday, November 20th. We're going to be playing together, our band Sonic 45, in Arlington Heights. Write it down on your calendar. You want to come out and see me and Len? It's a good band. I really enjoy working with him and several other musicians who are dear friends, Doug Jewell and Liam Davis, Gerald Dowd. So that's Sunday night, November 20th. Come check it out. So, yeah, Len could use it. Len could use some good music. Man, the visions of that stadium this week, whew, just horrific. Freaky. I think it is the worst state of any organization perhaps in the history of this town. I mentioned that to Barry Rosner, who was on the air with me and Dan Bernstein the other day, and he brought up what Mark did, the Dollar Bill Wirtz Blackhawks of the 90s, the late 90s and the 2000s. I mean, I guess it's a discussion and a comparison that nobody wants to engage in. so we won't. But yeah, it's as bad as anything I've ever seen. That's for sure. This is Ali in Rogers Park on 670 The Score. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call. I was telling the other gentleman that, you know, I'm like kind of in between an optimistic and pessimistic Cubs fan because I really honestly feel like I really love the way they're playing in August, and I'm hoping it carries over in September. But deep down, I know that I don't think that this organization is going to spend in free agency what it will take to get to the next level, a deeper run in the playoffs, and you know, possibly a World Series. You know, given what Texas did, and given what the Dodgers have done to try to win, you know, and I just can't see Tom Ricketts shelling out the cash to do it. And I think Jed Hoyer is the same way. I think Carter Hawkins is also the same way. I mean, like, if you find somebody like that in your farm system and you bring them up and you pay them, great. That's awesome. But I think we have a really good team, but to get to that next level, you're going to need to spend into the luxury tax, to spend a lot into the luxury tax, get a free agent here. And I honestly think Tom Ricketts is stealing a book out of Jerry Reinsdorf's book, trying to, you know, quote what you said last time.
No. That's not fair. There is nuance in talking about it. You got to keep yourself out of the polar opposites or the corners of the ring, and making false equivalencies. What the Cubs are showing is a desire to live on the fringe of the big, big boys and the heavy expenditures like the Phillies and the Dodgers and the Rangers and the Yankees. They are, and obviously the Mets and a couple others. So I agree that there seems to be a controlled lack of aggression to go into the absurdities of the tax. But that doesn't mean they're down there in Reinsdorfian territory or anything like that. What it does mean is that they do need a bunch of different people to play well, which has been the case over the last couple of months here. They do need some of their own prospects to come up and produce, and I hope we see Owen Casey today. And they need well-timed expenditures. Look, man, this year, there's a lot of money going off the books. There's a ton of money going off the books. Hendricks' money is going off. There's enough money for a big time expenditure. I know that they will try to do a short window if they're going to sign a big free agent, something like that. But you could see them make a trade for Vlad Guerrero Jr. You could see them make a trade for another player in the final year of a free agent and try to extend them. I don't know that Pete Alonso is not going to get a 10-year, $300 million contract. You want to put Pete Alonso at first and trade Michael Bush for something? You want to put Pete Alonso at first, trade Nico Horner and move Michael Bush to second? Sacrifice a little bit of defense in order to get your best folks out there? Or keep Nico and just kind of platoon Bush and use him a lot at DH and stuff like that? You're not paying him much. I mean, there's an opportunity to be creative and to get yourself a very good player and very good producer. I understand the frustration at the big, big money superstar, but they clearly don't want to be where some of those organizations end up in terms of draining money without a giant TV deal because they missed the boat on that and without other things. And it is frustrating to be at that fringe, I know, and I understand. But understand, though, too, this is a top 10 payroll, and it's going to stay a top 10 payroll, and they will go into the tax. And there's nuance to it, to what happens. But you'll have time in the offseason to freak out about it. Pay attention to the season and enjoy being just four games back. Enjoy being four games over 500 for the first time since May. We'll take a break, come back, and take your phone calls on both Cubs and Sox right here on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Well, I think we've given ourselves a chance to play games in September that count and that mean something. And it took a really good month, and it's going to take another great month. But I'm proud of the guys for putting together a great stretch of baseball and giving ourselves a chance here.
Oh, yeah! Yeah, can you feel it, people? The suite table is now open in the back of the room. Enjoy the wedding, everyone. Craig Tember. Here you go. The Cubs have the easiest schedule of any of the National League wildcard contenders coming up in the month of September. We will go through all of that, including what the Braves and the Padres and the D-backs have. We'll do that next hour. But I promised phone calls. I asked for them. Let's talk to them. This is Mike, who's on the road and is now on Hit and Run with me, Spiggs. What's up, Mike?
Maddie.
Yo.
What? Hey, first time talking to you, man.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, listen, I am a Sox fan through and through. But I found myself at the All-Star break putting a bet down that the Cubs would win the division. Now, I may be off on that, but I thought they were going to make a run. There's no way they can't make a run with the team that they got. That being said, I was with...
Mike, we lost you. Sorry, buddy. Let's go to another Mike. This one is in Racine, Wisconsin, and is now on Hit and Run. What do you say, Mike?
Hey, Spades, how you doing?
Great.
Love the show.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, so do you think with Rossi, when he was manager, if he was still managing, would PCA have gotten the at-bats this year and have been allowed to grow under Rossi?
It's a good question.
Even
go ahead.
Porter Hodge, guys like that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a fair question. There is a necessity to the efficiency with which the Brewers have operated for the last 8 to 10 years and continue to do so, obviously, with Pat Murphy. But Craig Counsell was steeped in that necessary efficiency, so he became very, very comfortable with it. David Ross, obviously showed a lack of desire to do that with PCA last year and with others. But every once in a while that happens. I mean, there have been moments where Counsell did that this year. Remember Mervis coming up and not getting used at all? There's a couple other guys, right, who came up and did not get used at all. Canario, just like with Ross last year. So for both of them, that happened. With PCA, it was a definite full-on organizational decision to let him be in there for defense and base running and give him time to see if he could figure anything out offensively. And now that he has, you've got an absolute beast. An absolute beast. So it's a fair question. They have different strengths, but certainly as a full-on partner of the front office, Counsell giving PCA all this time has been extremely effective. The run that PCA scored the other night, after he doubled in two runs on Friday, he advances to third on a ground ball to the left side, and then a ground ball to the first baseman, they stupidly throw home, and PCA is sliding in head first home, and he beat that throw by like 4 feet. Unbelievable. Just, he's blindingly fast and an absolute joy to watch on the bases. And oh, by the way, now he's slugging the hell out of the ball. It's crazy. This is Mike in Mendota, who's now on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Matt. Great show. I always try to catch this on Saturday morning. It's great baseball talk.
Thanks, buddy. Even better on Sundays.
Four over 500 for the first time since May. And you just had a little blurb with Counsell talking about how the team's starting to hit and everything. I just wonder, what do you think about Counsell's temperament, his even temper, his patience, his clever kind of dry sense of humor, and all of the vision that he has for the run of 162 game season, how he's just stuck to his game plan, and how much that's contributed to the Cubs surging. And you know, they say a manager's worth 5 or 6 wins a year. What do you think about Counsell's contribution to this run and how they've gotten back over 500?
I think it's a fascinating topic, and manager value always is. This year was looking like a very bad data point for manager value in terms of the Counsell money and the effect on this team. After with Ross, they were an 83-win team. They did have the September collapse. I think this month will go a long way towards kind of solidifying that conversation based on this one data point. But now that we've gotten to know Counsell a lot better, I think it's undeniably impressive, obviously. Dude is crazy smart. We know that. But it is that calm that you mentioned, which can be a very powerful thing. And, you know, there's the humor that we talked about. And one other thing has been sticking with me. I don't know about any of you, but I meditate in the mornings. And I am very much a person who looks for a calm, a state of peace with which to perform at my best and stay focused and mindful and present, right? I've always been that person, but I'm getting better at the practice of it. Something came up on our show talking to counsel a couple of weeks ago about being in the moment. And it was this beautiful exchange that we had. And he said, the fun is in the moment. And he tries to make sure the players are in the moment as much as possible, not freaking out in the before and the after. And then I asked him, well, how do you stay in the moment? Do you meditate? And he paused and he said, well, breathing is meditation. And I kind of get myself there as I breathe all the time. And if you talk to people who really work on staying in that kind of headspace, just the ability to take some long breaths. And we know that Shota Imanaga has been doing four square breathing between innings sometimes in the dugout. We remember the moment of Morel learning to do the big deep breath with Contreras. A counsel has that in him in a big, big way. And he does it. He uses breathing as meditation in the dugouts during games, and it works for him. And that kind of peace and calm can very much so have a good effect on a ball club over the course of 162. Difficult to quantify, of course, but I do believe that we're seeing some of that with this Cubs team. This is Ben in Queens on the Score. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Speed. Just wanted to say segments with Rosner the other day were absolute gold. I miss that guy. When he found out that Grady Sizemore was the manager of the White Sox, I almost fell out of my chair. I swear to God. And hey, if I'm going to let Stan and Bellwood remind everyone that September is baseball season, but if you just wanted to bring back Rosner for like an hour on Sunday mornings, that would be great.
Oh, believe me. I've tried. I've tried, and I will try again, Ben.
Oh, absolutely loved it. Anyway, okay, just a data point on what Council or what the rookies have done. As of now, we still got a whole month left. 4.2 wins above replacement from the rookies and the offensive side, and 5.5 wins above replacement. That's almost 10 wins above replacement. They're projecting for about 11.5 just from your rookie class. Okay? So let's put it to bed about whether Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins have built a winner. They've built a winner. I'm thinking that today is December 1st, not September 1st. The Cubs are going to be basically in the same spot. If they win out and make the playoffs, they're probably not going to win the World Series. And if they don't, they're probably going to play good baseball and they're going to be showing that they're a winner. They're probably going to lose Cody Bellinger. You know, they need to make a big move. It's Juan Soto, or, you know, you got six dudes in the top 100 in AAA. This is unheard of. With all the rookie production you're already getting, you could go out and make a splash. You could trade for Mike Trout. You could do something big. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. And you know, if this is going to be the last hit and run, I don't know if Tanny's going to do a proper Goodfellas thing for, but Kyle Hendricks needs to be recognized. If we need to have a mutual appreciation society moment for Kyle Hendricks, who in my lifetime now surpassed Lee Smith to be number three on the list. Maddox number one, Fergie number two. And now Kyle Hendricks. He's earned that spot. And oh my God, when Rosner talked about the Maddox, it broke my heart. I cried again. That was our dude, man.
I know it was, Ben. And the Greg Maddox documentary is terrific and reopened some wounds for people when Maddox left via free agency, a free agency that the Cubs screwed up completely. Good stuff there. Yeah, if this is Kyle Hendricks's swan song, and I think it truly is, the Kyle Hendricks Admiration Society will indeed have a meeting at some point during the month of September. It is the last hit and run, but we hope to get one or two in, maybe a couple more, depending on what the Cubs do during the course of September. Thanks so much for all the wonderful calls. Steve Stone is next on 670 The Score.